Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Hey, yo, what's going on, Sports City Chefs, man? It's your boy, Sirius, and yo, they finally can get your man the keys to the car, man. Such a privilege to be here with you guys, actually hosting this evening. Me, my man, Barry, is here with me, man. Barry, say what's up to the people.
Hey, what's up? The villain is in the house, a little busy, but always not too busy to chill with my boy Sirius on the NFL Free-for-All Week 2 edition. Sirius, how you doing, my brother?
You know what, man? I'm good, man. I'm a little bit emotional right now, man. 10 years in the making, and mama, I finally made it. I done got the keys to the car. You know what I'm saying? I done took my permit, you know what I'm saying, passed the driver's test, they done gave your man the keys. Lord Jesus. Yo. But, man, here's the deal, man. I wanted to sit down with you guys and talk about week number two, man. There's a lot that went down in week number two. So that's what we're going to do for the next hour and some change, man. Thanks for rocking with us. For those of you guys who are new to the program, or new to Sports City, man, come on, pull up a chair, grab a plate. We got a lot of dishes to hand out across all sports and all platforms. Also, if you're following us, if you're not following us on YouTube, we got some stuff popping on YouTube. Definitely hit us up on sportscitychefs.com with the blogs and things of that nature. But we'll get into that as we conclude. One of the major things that I wanted to bring to everybody's attention is the calling number. The calling number is, hold on a second, I just missed it. Call the number is 929-477-2759 if you want to pop in and kick it with us. Like I said, you got the next 90 minutes or so locked and loaded, man. So let's get it in, man. Thursday night, September 6th, we had a ball game here in the Metro D.C. area. The Washington football team hosted Barry, New York football Giants. A lot went down in that ball game, but for me, Barry, and again, you may have a different opinion, this for me was really about the Washington football team. Taylor Heinicke came in and took over, filling in for Fitzpatrick, who went down the week before. And so for me, he just rose to the occasion, you know, 336 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. The leading rusher in this game, ironically, was Daniel Bitcoin Jones, man, ran for 95 yards and a touch. Should have had 2, got 1 call back on a phantom call. So, Barry, I mean, what was your thoughts on this game, man? I know you wrote about it and blogged about it, so if you want to reference what you wrote, you go right on ahead. Now, what was your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I blogged about it after I said it in the my edition of Finger Foods, exclusively on the YouTube channel for Sports City Chefs. I had some time, you know, now that I'm calm and collected, there's a lot of takeaways. First of all, it's a good game. It was a good game, but I wasn't impressed by Washington football team. They probably should have lost that game. The Giants did everything in their power to hand them the game. Heineke came to play. He played very well. I was very impressed with Terry McLaurin. I think McLaurin is one of the those receivers that doesn't get a lot of press because he's not like a big household name, but he's a darn good receiver. Got to give him credit. Wasn't impressed by the defense for Washington football team. I think 2 weeks in a row where I wasn't really impressed with what they did. They let the Giants football team march up and down the field on them. Danny Jones basically was running the ball, had probably one of his better games pros Thursday night, throwing for over 200 yards, throwing a touchdown pass, probably should have had two, and adding a rushing touchdown. I actually blogged about waiver wire pickups, and he's one of those guys I think you got to pick up, not as a starter, maybe as a spot starter, maybe if your team's struggling. You know, he's pretty much only had one turnover so far this year, and he's actually, you know, like, I think if you look at the points, I think he had 27 fantasy points and then 32-ish fantasy points, according to Yahoo. So he's a sneaky pick there. But I think for the most part, the Giants did everything to kill themselves, serious. They basically dropped touchdown catches, like you said, the holding penalty, the offsides on the field goal attempt at the end of the game, which was a questionable call. If you look at it in replay, you know, he's moving as the ball is moving. So it's kind of a touchy call, but, I mean, to the naked eye, it does look like an offsides call. You know, a lot of plays the Giants made that to blow it for themselves early in the first half, driving down the field, you know, almost to the red zone or in the red zone, get a penalty, a holding call, what have you, and knock them out of field goal range. They had to settle for a punt. So, I mean, the Giants did everything they could to lose this game. On to week three, where they have the Falcons coming into town in a must win.
Yeah, man, I definitely agree with a little bit of what you said. Honestly, Daniel Jones, a sneaky fantasy pickup. Another guy who we talked about last week for the New York Giants is Slayton. I mean, this seems to be Daniel Jones' favorite target right now. He's not connecting with Kenny Galladay, which I'm sure Giants fans are annoyed about. For me,
so is Galladay.
Obviously. For me, honestly, I'm a double click on what you talked about, that defense. You know, when we came into the year, Washington's defense was renowned as the best defense in football, and, you know, and they wanted to live on the laurels of what they did a season ago. And through 2 weeks now, granted, you know, you played the L.A. Chargers, you know, with Justin Herbert and company, and you played Daniel Jones, who, again, in my opinion, it's having one of his best years. I mean, granted, we're two games in. I'm sure that the tragedy that Barry so reluctantly remembers will rear his ugly head. But for now, he's playing good ball. Next game I wanted to talk about as we move along.
One thing I wanted to add to that, Sirius. You brought up a great point with Galladay. You know, he basically came out, I think it was today or yesterday, I think it was yesterday, and said that he wasn't yelling at Daniel Jones. He was yelling at JG, which is Jason Garrett. And I did lament in my in my blog and in my Finger Food Edition on YouTube channel that basically Garrett's got to find the creative way to get him the ball. He needs to be creative and find ways to get Galladay involved in the offense. Now, granted, Galladay had 8 targets and only came out with 3 catches. He had a couple drops and a couple incompletions. But, I mean, 8 targets for a guy that you're paying over $80 million to isn't going to cut the mustard. Mm-hmm. You know that better than I do. You've had great receivers in Pittsburgh. So you got to find a way to get – you got to find a way to get him the ball and get him involved in the offense. Either it's early with a little, you know, screen pass or something. Just get him the ball. Get him involved.
Well, see, here's my retort to that. this is Kenny Galladay's first, you know, game action. You know, he didn't do anything in preseason. He really wasn't involved
in
training camp too much. So when you start talking about that wide receiver quarterback chemistry, Daniel Jones and Galladay don't have that because he wasn't available. He does have it with the other receivers, but I think you know, time will eventually tell. If Kenny Galladay stays healthy, I think that eventually that chemistry will come to fruition. I mean, you guys got a nice opportunity this upcoming week playing the Atlanta Falcons, whose defense is putrid. But, again, I think you might find yourself in the middle of another shootout because the Atlanta Falcons offense, you know, does pose some legitimate weapons. But I'm sure we'll talk about that later on, probably tomorrow on the free-for-all. The next game I wanted to get into, for me, I'm going to save my game for later because I've been talking about it ad nauseum. but the Cincinnati Bengals and the Chicago Bears, get a win here 20-17. Big storyline behind this game for me, Barry, is Andy Dalton goes down. Andy Dalton gets hurt, and the rookie Justin Fields comes in, and now the clock, in my opinion, starts to tick. This is Justin Fields' first week of, one reps. He's running with the ones. He's able to be in the film room and kind of game plan and not kind of run the scout team or whatever number twos do in Chicago. So we're going to really see how this Bears offense starts to click. What are your feelings on what took place in that game? Again, Joe Burrow was throwing all over the yard. He had 207 yards and 2 touchdowns. Joe Mixon was a shell of himself from a week ago. What did you feel about that game there, Barry?
I thought this was a game that the Bengals kind of let slip away a little bit, whereas the Bears were up in this game. They were playing relatively well, especially on the defensive end. I thought they were getting pressure. And the Bengals were moving the ball, and then Burrow and company self-destructed in the, I think it was the fourth quarter. He threw 3 picks in the game, threw a pick six. He just basically, the wheels came off. Once he threw that first interception, it started to tumble. It was like the next drive, he threw another one, and the game just got away from him. I think he threw a couple late touchdowns to Chase and Higgins. It was nice to see them get involved, especially Jamar Chase, who kind of had a rocky preseason. But I thought the Bears defensively, give them credit. They played very well against a really good receiving core. I think one that you've mentioned before, especially on your Finger Foods that I listened to today, very underrated receiving core. They played very well. I think to your point, the clock is ticking to have Fields as your starting quarterback, but I think I saw enough from him in that Bengals game to give me pause and say he's not ready. I like him. I think he's the future of that franchise, clearly. Dalton is the now, like, for right now. I saw him not making clear reads. He had open guys and was holding the ball and checked it down or ran out of the pocket. So it's going to take him time to make those reads, hold safeties, you know, really manipulate the safeties with his eyes and with his feet and stuff instead of wanting to take off. I saw him make some good throws, and I saw him make some throws that probably should have been picked off. He did throw one interception, which was a bad throw. So I think Nagy said, If Dalton can go, he's the starter. I think that's the right choice because I didn't see enough to say that Fields is ready to take on the starting role, and I don't think that offensive line is going to hold him up. I think that offensive line is pretty terrible. They haven't meshed yet. So from that standpoint, he's not ready. But, the Bears got the home win, got to 1-1, which is, you know, at the very least where you want to be 2 games in, and away they go.
So for me, I kind of disagree with you on a couple of fronts there. For me, if that offensive line is not gelling right now, you need a guy who is mobile, who can maneuver the launch point and maneuver the pocket, and Justin Fields does that. With that being said, keep in mind, they're on the road this week playing the Cleveland Browns, and the Cleveland Browns secondary isn't something to write home about, but they do have one of the best front lines in football when you start talking about Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney and those guys on that side of the football. We got some weapons on the outside, you know, Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, you know, so you have some weapons if you're able to, you know, matriculate the ball down the field. And for me, I'm not saying that, you know, he should go in and be the starter immediately. I do believe that if Andy Dalton is healthy enough, you know, then I don't think he should lose his job. But I saw that injury, and Andy Dalton is no spring chicken. So it takes you a little bit of time to recover from that type of an injury. I wouldn't be shocked if he was held out this week, because the very next week they play the Detroit Lions. So you kind of get yourself a nice landing spot, if you will. But, you know, you go on the road, play the Cleveland Browns, and then you come back home to Chicago and play a division opponent in the Detroit Lions. So if I'm Matt Nagy, that's the type of stuff that you have to weigh out as you make this decision going into Wednesday. For me, also in this game, David Montgomery was able to run the ball a little bit, so it was good to see him going. Darnell Mooney, once again, fantasy football marvel, if you will. If you got him, keep a lookout for him, because he's gonna be a sneaky pickup for us, for people who wasn't paying attention during this preseason, during this offseason. The next game I wanted to bring up is those Cleveland Browns and the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans lose this one 21-31 in a game where they played, again, they played well, in my honest opinion. This was a Houston Texans team that, again, we sat here and joked them on the network about being trash, but they're coming out and they're playing decent ball. Now, I think this may be where the wheels fall off for them, because Tyrod Taylor is going to miss significant time yet again for being hurt and having another injury. And I hate to say yet again, but this is a guy who, you know, we all know the story, you know, past that he's been through. We all understand what, you know, he's gone through as far as being hurt and what happened with the Chargers and the Browns and name that team. He's always went in there with ideas and dreams of being the guy. And then for some odd reason, you know, he missed a planet. But with that being said, while he was in there, they played significantly well. Baker Mayfield wasn't, you know, throwing the ball over the yard all world, you know, 213 yards with a touch. Nick Chubb, you know, ran the ball really well. Brandon Cooks, again, I salute you, sir. I avoided you in every league. As a matter of fact, I told people who would ask me about the Houston Texans to avoid all Texans, because literally I didn't understand how they would move the football, how they would score. You know, ultimately I have egg on my face because Brandon Cooks is actually a viable option for lineups, but – with that being said, Barry, I don't know if you took a look at this game or not, but how would you categorize it? How would you wrap up the Houston Texans and Cleveland Browns game?
I was, you know, listen, God bless NFL Red Zone, because I'm able to kind of move in and out of games and not have to move a muscle, right? So especially when my team is not playing on a Sunday, I get to just hone in on Red Zone. So I did catch most of this game. Listen, I'm with you. We were talking, you know, junk about the Houston Texans, and I think if not for Tyrod Taylor's injury, who returned to Cleveland, one of his old stopping grounds, they had a good chance to win this game. You know, Cleveland eventually pulled away late because they stuck to their guns, they stuck to their game plan and ran the ball. I was very impressed with Nick Chubb. Listen, I got to be honest with you, Sirius. I had a pretty darn good day with Daily Fantasy. Nick Chubb was one of my picks. The only pick I actually missed out on, I think, was one of my running backs. I'll have to look and see which one it was. But I think everybody else, I had Cooper Kupp, I had Chubb, I had Gronk, I had Fant. I had a lot of good guys. So I had a good day. I think Tyrod Taylor basically shows that he can play. And, you know, it wasn't his fault that, you know, he was in Buffalo and then they drafted a quarterback. You know, like, you know, everywhere he went, they had a contingency plan behind him. So I was impressed. They moved the ball pretty well against a solid defense. They have a quick turnaround with the rookie quarterback coming up. I think they play Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers team, who I think is, you know, a pretty darn good football team. We got to talk about them pretty soon. But listen, I was impressed with what they did, but they just couldn't hang on. They couldn't do enough. I was impressed with what Cleveland was able to do, despite the Landry. I think Landry had went down in that game. I don't think he came back. They really had to run the ball, and they did effectively with Hunt and Chubb. So, you know, kudos to them. So the Browns actually did what they had to do, even themselves up like Chicago did. They're 1-1, and away they go.
Yeah, so Jarvis Landry did go out with a significant injury. He is listed right now as questionable for his participation in the Chiefs game. So we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that. You know, another weapon that Baker Mayfield is not going to have at his disposal as they play a very game Chicago Bears team. So we'll leave that alone. You mentioned Cooper Kupp. Let's talk about him, man. The L.A. Rams and the Indianapolis Colts link up to do battle. For me, honestly, this was all about Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford and that offense, man. I don't want to say, you know, Jared Goff held this Rams team back, because this is a Rams team that was humming around and, you know, managed to get themselves to a Super Bowl, and they came up short. But this Rams team just looks different right now with Matthew Stafford at the helm. Carson Wentz, once again, back on the injury report. He loved it so much, he did it twice, sprained both his ankles.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. I've never done, listen, I played basketball. I played every sport imaginable. I've never sprained both my ankles at the same time. I've never done that before. So this is a guy who needs to be wrapped in bubble wrap and just ride off to the sunset with his wife and his kids. But with that being said, the Indianapolis Colts are in trouble. The Indianapolis Colts are in some significant trouble, in my opinion. But for that, you know, I'm going to pause there. What do you think about this game, man? What do you think about this game, the L.A. Rams and the Indianapolis Colts?
So this was the game that kind of buried me a little bit, Sirius. So I had Jonathan Taylor on my daily fantasy and in one of my fantasy leagues. So he kind of buried me. But, I mean, look at this. Look at who I had, Sirius. I had Stafford, Nick Chubb. I had Taylor, I had Mike Evans, I had Moore from the Panthers, Kupp, Noah Fant in one, and then Carson, and then the Buccaneers defense. If I had Taylor going like he should have gone, you wouldn't be talking to me right now. All right, I'd be on an island right now. Okay. But
wow, I feel so disrespected right now. I ain't gonna talk to me when you get money. I like it. All right, I got you, bougie dude.
Yo, I'll bring you guys with me. I'll bring you guys with me. But listen, no, seriously though. I'm not impressed with the Colts through 2 weeks. You know, I actually one of the channels that I kind of keep an eye on. I had a podcast, and they asked who was the best 0-2 team, and they said, without question, was the Colts. And I don't know about that. I would think the Giants have showed, after their game, they showed a lot more fight, I think, and show a little bit more promise than the Colts did. Just because it's just the Wentz factor. You know, he's hurt. I saw him making reads that just didn't make any sense to me. I feel like the three-headed monster at running back is just unnecessary. Taylor's the guy. Give him the ball. I mean, I like Hines and I like Mack. I really like Mack. I think if not for his injury, you wouldn't really be talking about Taylor as much. But, pick a guy, man. Like, give me a break. Like, you don't give them a chance to get going because you're two plays and they're out. So that defense has really kind of let me down. I think last year they were a really good defense. I haven't seen it. It's part of the fact that they just didn't – I don't think they did enough to address the edge rushers and the pressure with their front four. They let guys walk that shouldn't have walked, and I think they're starting to pay for it right now. The Rams were able to do whatever they wanted. I'm surprised they didn't score more points, and I'm surprised that the Colts got back into this game. So maybe that's an indictment on the Rams a little bit. I think the Rams' defense – could be a little bit better. I think they're missing some pieces that they didn't plug back in. But when you got Donald, you got Ramsey, I mean, those two guys right there alone will make your defense strong. So I'm very impressed with Stafford. I think he, you know, through two games, he's kind of taken control of that offense. You see him running McVay's offense, but you see him doing a little bit of what he's done in the past. So it's a nice marriage for them. So they have a big game series coming up against the Bucs. Clearly the game of the week, game I'm going to be keeping a close eye on. It's going to be, all right, this is why you got this guy. Can Stafford get you over the hump against a really good Bucs team?
Well, see, here's the deal. The next 3 weeks for the Rams are huge. They got the Bucs, the Cardinals, and Seattle.
Yeah.
In the next 3 weeks. So we're going to learn a lot about the LA Rams and
absolutely,
if they're legit or for real or fraudulent, you know, the next 2 weeks, man. So, but yeah, that's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. To answer your initial question, though, I'm going to, pull an audible here, I think the best 0-2 team for me, honestly, would be the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Minnesota Vikings are one of the best 0-2 teams, if you want to call it best 0-2 teams. I wasn't high on the Indianapolis Colts, even though I did sit here on this very network. Was I on this network or was I on the Clubhouse? I said Indianapolis Colts possibly could make a Super Bowl run. I think I was here. I think I was there when I said that. During one of our preview shows, I'm kind of eating my words now, but whatever. I'm a big boy. I love to eat, so it is what it is. with that being said, moving right along, the Buffalo Bills did what the Buffalo Bills do to the Miami Dolphins. I really don't feel like we need to really dive too much into that one. But this was a team, honestly, that came off a loss last week and just took care of business. The Miami Dolphins, what in the world is going on there? Josh Allen, very pedestrian type of day, if you will. Two touchdowns, 179 yards. Diggs, you know, got a tutty and 60 yards there. But I'm not sure if you was able to peep in on this one as well, but what were your thoughts on Buffalo, and can we kind of fix what's going on with the Dolphins?
I don't know if you can fix the Dolphins. If you have that Dolphins defense, it's a drop. I would drop that defense, and I would pick up the Panthers defense. That Panthers defense is fast. They are athletic, and they're the only defense, Sirius, that scored double digits in both games. If you don't have them on your roster, you don't know what you're doing. But here's the deal. Dolphins defense is underperforming. They're not playing like they were last year. And why? They were more of a bend and break defense, but they were breaking opponents because they were forcing so many turnovers. They're not forcing as many turnovers as they were last year. So they're kind of getting exposed on that side of the ball. I think the injury to Tua, he dodged a bullet. They're saying it's a bruised ribs, nothing's broken. He's kind of on a timetable, but I don't think you're going to see him next week. So it's the Jacoby Brissett show. But, you know, they're just not getting the weapons involved for me enough. I think Waddle and company are they're not moving the ball. I think they don't really have an identity on offense. It's weird watching them play offense. It's just like they don't know what they want to do. I feel like they don't really have a game plan. Now, kudos to the Bills. Josh Allen's not playing particularly – I think he's playing well, but I think you can attest to it because you saw him last week. His completion percentage is down, and he's missing guys. He's overthrowing or underthrowing. So, but when it counts, he's making the plays. Like, he's finding Diggs. He's finding Sanders and company. So, but I think he could play a lot better. So that's something to keep an eye on. But the Bills, listen, the Dolphins had a chance to put the Bills down to 0-2 and to be 2-0 and have them two games behind. They couldn't take care of business. The Bills just steamrolled them, and now you're a 1-1 team with the Bills, and I don't know if you had your chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so for me, I'm not too sure what's going on with the Miami Dolphins, but ironically, they got a tough game coming up this week. You know, I mean, they play the 2-0 Raiders in Vegas. So they got to get it right and get it right quickly. They can't seem to gain continuity with receivers. They're fumbling punts. It's just a bad outfit, if you will. So time will tell what's going on with the Miami Dolphins. The next game I wanted to talk about are the Patriots and the New York Jets. The New York Jets lose 25-6. The big thing I want to talk about in this particular game was the stage two Brighton and for Zach Wilson. Rookie, you know, played well last week. They came up on the losing end, but I'm not sure too sure what it is with these Patriots, but it makes Jets quarterback see ghosts. I mean, Zach Wilson threw four of them, you know, to the wrong team. And the route was on. I mean, we all expected that the Patriots would bounce back after dropping a close one to a division opponent a week ago to the Miami Dolphins. However, I wasn't expecting this. What's your thoughts on what happened in that Patriots-Jets game where the Patriots are victorious 25-6?
I mean, Belichick has a vendetta against rookie quarterbacks. He abuses them. They have no chance against his defenses. And Zach Wilson was no exception to the rule. Four picks. I saw the first couple picks where it just started to snowball. Like, he threw that one pick. I think Corey Davis, it was one tipped off his hand. Another one was kind of like he should have taken a check down on a rollout. You know, you have, like, the flood pass, and you had the underneath, and you had the over-the-top. He tried to force it into the over-the-top instead of just taking the check down, taking the 5 yards, and, you know, kind of went sailing, and then it was off to the races. So I picked the Patriots in my daily, my survivor pool. That was an easy pick for me. Always pick against the Jets when they're playing Belichick. Sorry, Dave. Dave from Baseball Buffet.
Dave, I forgot about me.
Yeah, poor Dave. But listen, he already knew too. He wrote an article about the Jets, and he knew what was going down. So he wrote that article on SportsCityChefs.com. Go to the site. Shameless plug. But listen, I was impressed with how the Patriots just took care of business. They had them down. They didn't let them back in the game. And, you know, it's easy to fall into that trap where you get up big and like the Rams did, kind of let these guys sneak back in, or the 49ers did in week one. They just kind of stayed on them, didn't let them back in the game, really kept the pressure on Zach Wilson. This is welcome to the NFL, Zach. And it, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that, and this is a game where he had a lot to learn. Like, listen, take what the defense gives you. Don't go that, try to force the ball downfield. Like, it's not college where you can make those type of plays, roll out off schedule plays, force it downfield and make a big play. Not in the NFL and not against a Belichick defense. Take what they give you. Like, perfect example, I remember watching the Giants' second Super Bowl win against the Patriots. They double-covered Nicks, and they double-teamed Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz, right? So what did he do? Dump it off underneath, hit the tight end, move the ball. Eventually they won the game. You just got to take what the defense gives you and loosen them up. So that's a learning experience for Zach Wilson. He'll get better from this. He'll learn from this game. I don't think he saw ghosts, but I think he saw, you know, this is what I need to do to improve.
I'm not too sure, man. I thought it was very ghost-like what I was looking at, but I digress. The final game in that 1 o'clock window, I'm gonna go over and I'm gonna be very, very brief with it. Is the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, did take a loss this week to the Las Vegas Raiders, 26-17, in Heinz Field. The story for me, honestly, is Derek Carr and what he was able to do with that particular offense. I'm going to be honest with you guys, man. Like, if you are in the business of streaming quarterbacks and you don't have Derek Carr on your roster, go get him. Go get him. Like, the way this man is distributing the ball right now, he's thrown for a total of close to 800-some-odd yards and 2 weeks of football. He has a very, 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 very favorable schedule. Next week playing the Miami Dolphins at home. They go on the road after that and play the Chargers, who has been known to give up significant passing yards. So this Raiders offense is very, 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 very decent right now. And they're humming, they're clicking. But with that being said, I'm not going to waste too much time really venting about it again. As a Steelers fan, I'm frustrated about what took place. Long story short for me, my offensive line, we have to get better. We have to get better. But, Barry, I didn't get your thoughts and opinions on it, man. Not sure if you was, you know, watching a red zone or whatever it could be, but what were your thoughts on this game, man, and the overall outcome being the Steelers taking a loss Sunday to the Las Vegas Raiders?
Yeah, I wrote about it also in waiver pickups. If you don't have Derek Carr in your roster just to keep him there as a sub start or to keep somebody else from getting him, you don't know what you're doing, okay? He's balling. I mean, against two pretty solid defenses. Now, the Ravens defense, not as good as years past, but still, that's a good defense. That's a good team, and the Steelers have a good defense, and he's leading the league in passing yards by almost 200 yards. So Carr is balling out. He, you know, everybody kind of thought that Gruden wanted to move on from him because he brought in a couple quarterbacks that he liked. But for all in all, he's been his guy, and he's been playing pretty well. He's got weapons there with Waller, who was a surprise weapon as a tight end. Nobody really thought about him, and then last year just burst onto the scene. It was nice to see Ruggs get involved in the offense and get in the end zone. I think some people were starting to kind of give up on him on fantasy. Don't do it. The Raiders are an impressive 2-0 team, I have to admit. I think they're the best team? No. But they're an impressive 2-0 team. They're one of those teams, if you looked at all the 2-0 teams, they're one of the two that I think are impressive, or maybe three. For the most part, though, I really agree with you. The Steelers, they're not running the ball. And this is 3 years in a row. And this is really – it has nothing to do with Najee Harris, because we know he can play. It's the offensive line. It's a problem. I've seen that story before. I'm looking at it with the Giants offensive line that they haven't been able to fix for 5+ years. They can't fix the offensive line. And it is people want to throw it at Ben Roethlisberger's feet. I don't think he's the problem either, because I'm seeing him make reads, make plays. He's just not getting time. They're not holding up for him, and they're not opening up holes to give him that play action, you know, throw that quick, you know, kind of throw over the linebackers and in front of the safety. So I don't know what they can do to fix the offensive line this year. I hope it's not a lost cause. If I'm a Steeler fan like you, Sirius, I'm worried. I'm worried about what I'm seeing, at least from the offensive line perspective.
Yeah. So again, I'm furious. You know, I said this in the Fingers Food episode, and I'm in the middle of penning a blog now, talking a little bit about it. But if you close your eyes, man, and just don't understand what you're looking at, the offense that I'm looking at right now in 2021 is the same offense that we had in 2020, and that offense was near the worst in the league and moving the football. So, again, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I do expect things to get changed and get right, and we have to do it quickly because we do have a division opponent coming in the building on Sunday. With that being said, man, we're going to move ahead to the 4 o'clock game. The Philadelphia Eagles took one on the chin to the San Francisco 49ers, man. The issue with that was, I honestly wish I understood what was going on with that game. I'm not going to make no bones about it. I didn't get to see much of this game because it was about the same time the Philly game was on, and my focus was there. I did catch a little bit of the highlights on Red Zone and things of that nature, but basically reading the tea leaves from the statistics, Jalen Hurts was a pedestrian thrower of the football. He was more of a runner. The 49ers really couldn't move the football too much. They managed to get 10 points in the fourth quarter. But you have to win ugly games like that, man. I'm not too sure if you caught this one, Barry, but what were your thoughts on the 49ers and the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, I think two things that I saw, and I'll be pretty brief, is the lack of passing game. I think Hurts had a 91-yard pass play to Watkins. And then after that, it was 73 yards between everybody else. So they give the 49ers defense credit. They really played well against that offense against Hurts. And then, like, the running game. 14 rushes for Miles Sanders is not enough. This guy, I think he led the league in yards per carry last year, over 5 yards per carry. You're only figuring out to give him the ball 14 times to run the ball? That's unacceptable. They got to do better than that. Now, you can't say you didn't pass enough, get enough passing yards, and then you didn't run enough. You know what I mean? It's kind of like an oxymoron, like double talking. But you got to find a way to get Sanders more involved in the offense, help out Hurts, you know, help him out so that maybe you can do a little play action pass, open up the defense a little bit. So I think the offense kind of was a big problem in Philly that kind of left things to be desired. But give the 49ers credit. They won the game. They're 2-0, and they're looking pretty solid.
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely. I think they're an interesting ball club. We're going to learn a lot about them coming up as the season progresses. They got a nice opponent coming in there on Sunday in the form of the Green Bay Packers, who, yeah, let's save them for a little bit later. But, yeah, they got their work cut out for them this week. Next up, we're going to talk about the Carolina Panthers and the Saints. Retro Jameis Winston decided to rear its ugly head again. I saw a tweet
said,
I guess Jameis Winston needs to pay to get a refund for a leg of surgery because he was to the wrong color team again. Honestly, you mentioned it earlier. This Carolina Panthers team is no joke. Their defense is flying around and making significant plays. Christian McCaffrey is playing like, you know, he missed a year, And for me, Sam Darnold is distributing that ball around very, very well to his eligibles, man. So was this more about the Panthers winning it, or is this, you know, just another an anomaly where the Saints just laid another egg?
No, the Saints are you know, they did kind of lay an egg. I think they're the two things. Okay. First of all, give Carolina their flowers. They're a good team. Matt Rhule can coach. Okay. He's a darn good coach. They look really good. Sam Darnold doesn't see ghosts in Carolina. They didn't follow him from New York. He's playing pretty well. They got some solid receivers. It helps to have McCaffrey back. Oh, what a stud he is, right? You know, that offense looked good, but the defense for Carolina is pretty darn good. Like I said, they're fast. They're athletic. They get to the football, and they make plays. I love that defense in Carolina. Not Carolina defenses of old that we're used to, but they're a darn good defense that's only getting better. I think they had a good draft, and they just got a lot of athletic pieces. So give them their props. But the problem with the Saints is that Jameis Winston came back to reality a little bit, threw some bad passes. I'm watching him about to get sacked, forcing the ball down the middle of the field. Typical Jameis Winston crap. Can't do that. But then I'm watching and I'm saying, they don't have a receiver. Where's Michael Thomas? Why did he wait so long to get surgery? I don't know why. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't know what happened. Like, maybe he was trying to rehab the injury throughout the off season, but you knew you were hurt in January. You waited until July to get surgery, and the season was starting a month later. He hasn't come out and said why. Like, he hasn't come out and said why he waited so long to get the surgery. So I don't want to speculate anything, but I'm saying they need him. They need that weapon to kind of balance out with Kamara and company. They should be able to run the football. They just couldn't do that against that Carolina Panthers defense that's pretty fast. I think that's a play-calling thing. They should have figured out ways to do some misdirection or do some type of you know, anything, like, you know, run straight ahead, anything to offset the speed of the defense. But that's the two problems I see with the Saints. I think the Saints will be okay if Winston takes care of the football, and they got to get that passing game going.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you there. I mean, for me, a couple of things of note, you know, The Saints, you know, had a COVID outbreak, you know, hit their facility. So they were without coaches, and player that was out, you know, was Michael Thomas. And, you know, I don't want to speculate as to the reason as to why he didn't get the surgery. We were made aware of the fact that there was some bad blood between he and Peyton throughout the whole season. So he was linked to a bunch of trade rumors and things of that nature. I still think that there's a possibility that he might get traded later on down the road, but we will see with that. The next game I wanted to go into, Barry, is the Denver Broncos and the Jacksonville Jaguars. President and CEO of the Teddy Bridgewater fan club, you know, should be pretty happy right now, man. Shout out to the homie Greenwood, because he's balling right now. Another two touchdowns, close to 326 yards there. What are your thoughts on that? And, you know, we do got a couple games to get to, and we got a couple minutes left, so let's go and breeze through these real quick.
Cortland Sutton, welcome to the NFL. He had a hell of a game, 9 catches for 159 yards. Teddy Bridgewater, you know, I got to give him props, man, and we got to say it to Mr. Controversy, not when he's on the show, because I don't need to hear that from him. You know how he is, but Teddy Bridgewater's playing some pretty good football. He's a darn good quarterback, and that defense is flying. That's a good defense right there. So props to them. They did what they needed to do on the road against a woeful Jaguars team, and they got the win.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. These next two, I'm just going to give you guys a score. We can go ahead and dive past those, the Cardinals and the Vikings. Honestly, man, 34-33, what more could Cousins do, in my opinion? What more could Cousins do? I think he's catching the most of the blame for this. But, again, the Arizona Cardinals find a way to eke out a win. Once again, Tom Brady, you know, finds a way to maneuver himself past the Atlanta Falcons. This was a game, in my opinion, that was kind of back and forth until the turnovers took place, until Matt Ryan decided to throw those turnovers and the same guy got, you know, accounted for 14 Tampa Bay points. He got two pick sixes there. So salute to him. The game I want to get to for me, honestly, is the Tennessee Titans and Seattle Seahawks game, which went into overtime. Derrick Henry was asleep early. He woke up late, which was great for a lot of people's fantasy points. But my question for you is Ryan Tannehill. This is a guy who most fantasy circles projected to be a high-volume guy to do a bunch of stuff, especially when you bring over Julio Jones. And through two games, he's kind of underperformed. Are we selling on Ryan Tannehill, or do you want to stay the course with him?
Fantasy-wise, I'm selling. I think if you had a league where you drafted him and there's guys like Daniel Jones and Carr available, I would definitely start them over him right now. With that being said, I wouldn't give up on him. I would platoon him. I wouldn't let him go unless you can trade him. If you can trade him, go for it. But listen, the Titans, they needed that game. They really needed that game after a woeful performance against the Cardinals. They did everything. Henry did everything in his power to win that game. It was a joy to watch him run and play that game. The Seahawks let that one slip away at home. Very, very unimpressed with that performance after week one, where I didn't think they were going to win in Indianapolis. They won. And then when I thought they were home against a Titans team that was probably on the ropes and they should have won, they lost. So they're kind of up and down for me right now. I think they'll get it together because Lockett is the best receiver nobody talks about. They'll figure it out. I think that defense in Seattle, drop it. Drop that defense. It ain't the Legion of Boom. I think that is a problem for them. They did not address enough for me in the offseason on that defense, and I think it's going to bite them in the butt when they get into the NFC West.
Definitely, man. I guess the game that I really want to spend the remainder of our time on was the Sunday nighter. What more could you ask for? If you're a football fan, you got two of the league's upper echelons at the quarterback position going at it, and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. This game looked ugly early, and it got good late. The Ravens just find a way to grind out a one-point win. I'm not going to ask if you saw it because I know you saw it, but, like, talk about an ebb and flow roller coaster type of game. What were your thoughts, man? Salute to the Ravens' defense. You know, they found a way to limit Tyreek Hill's involvement, but the funny thing about it is when you limit Tyreek, others tend to get involved. But what were your thoughts about the game? You know, let me know what you're thinking, man.
I was impressed with how Lamar Jackson, how he responded, and the Ravens in general, because even though they didn't really play well defensively, you don't expect that against a really good Chiefs team. On the ropes, they had to get that game. They pulled it out. It was his first win, Jackson's first win against Mahomes. Now, let's be clear. It's not going to be the end-all, be-all. He has to do it in the playoffs. But get that first monkey off your back is a nice stepping stone. I thought it was great for him to say, I want to win the game. He went out and did it. So kudos to them and the Ravens for responding after a pretty bad performance against the Raiders the week before. The Chiefs, that defense is not going to win you a championship. I'm sorry. They 2 weeks in a row where they kind of got pushed around. Not happy what I'm seeing out of that defense. Mayhew, I don't see anything on the defensive side of that football. The offense is going to be the offense. I think it's going to take Mahomes really kind of getting into shootouts to cover up the inefficiencies of that defense. So Right now, they're not a top team. They will be probably at the end of the year, but I could look at a lot of 2-0 teams that are playing a lot better football right now than the Chiefs. Chiefs probably should be 0-2. Serious.
If you want to get technical, I can definitely see that because they should have lost to the Cleveland Browns week one. Yeah, I feel you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, as we wrap up the show here, man, we can talk about the Monday Nighter that we saw last night, the Green Bay Packers tell everybody to relax, and they go out there and handle business against the Detroit Lions. Here's the thing with me, man. If I'm a Lions fan, and, you know, I'm encouraged a little bit because, once again, you saw a fight, you saw grit. And again, this was a game until the waning stages of the third quarter, and then, you know, the Packers blew it open. But you know, their head coach has these guys believing they can win. They have themselves believing they can do the damn thing, and so I'm encouraged by that. What were your thoughts looking at this Green Bay Packers Detroit Lions game?
Really quickly, Aaron Rodgers let everybody know he's still Aaron Rodgers. Just relax. You know, nothing is wrong. I was impressed with Aaron Jones. If he runs like that, then he gives Aaron Rodgers that kind of like security blanket where he doesn't feel like he has to do everything. I think the defense in Green Bay is a problem for me. Even though they only gave up 17 points, I think the Lions were able to do some nice things and keep drives going. Our boy King at cornerback, like, he's just getting picked on. He's just getting abused at this point. I feel bad for him. But, you know, like, the defense in Green Bay, they have to run the ball, and Aaron Rodgers has to pretty much score every time to kind of make up for that defense. The Packers and the Chiefs kind of remind me of each other, where their defense are just not getting it done. But listen, it was a home game. They had to get it done. They got the win. Now they got a tough game coming up against the 49ers, where I don't know if they're going to win that game. They're not favored. So, you know, it was a must win.
Exactly, man. But, yeah, man, it was a decent game, in my opinion. But with Aaron Rodgers just doing his thing and slinging the rock around, and, again, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, man. I didn't think he would lay two eggs in a row, man. With that being said, man, I wanted to thank everybody for coming out and kicking it with us, man. This is the first of several recap shows that, you know, the Lord will not be able to host, and kick it with you guys, man. Barry, before we shut it down, man, take us out, dude.
Yeah, I mean, listen, sportscitychefs.com, get to the website, read the blogs. We're getting a lot of content put up there, working on another fantasy article right now that I'll be posting up pretty soon before I go nighty-night. Yeah, I said nighty-night. But listen, get there. You know, we got a lot of big things popping. The merchandise is up there. We got the mask and the hats. So definitely go check those out. Sponsorships, we're working on those. You know, we got a lot of things popping at Sports City. We're doing big things. Shout out to the big homie TP Timeless. Couldn't do this without him, as always. And serious, I don't know if you want the last word. I can let you close this out. But, you know, listen, we got our show tomorrow, the Carlos Cookout, baseball buffet on Thursday, and the college tailgate is coming back Saturday, so definitely get a plate for that.
Yo, man, definitely, man. It's your boy Sirius repping up 412 and a 703 with the driver's keys. Man, it's such a pleasure to be here with you guys, man. Like my man Barry said, definitely check out the website, the blogs, the merchandise, man. Pop over to YouTube, man. Give us a like, give us a follow. Doing finger foods, you know, just pretty much just talking straight from the hip, man. Unedited and cut and raw, kind of what we're feeling, man. So definitely check that out. Tomorrow we'll be back in the building with the free for all, man. Anything goes. I'm sure we'll dive into some baseball talk. I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more about the games that happened and kind of look ahead to the games that are coming up, man. Again, shout out to the homie TP, man, and and the big homie for letting us do this, man. Also, check us out on Clubhouse, man. And if you like what you hear here on this station, a lot of us, you know, over there doing that thing over there, the homie Groove and Company. And I got to take us out like this, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend. It's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now we know, man.
Ow.
Chefs, sports city, kaboom, sports city chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon, they well in tune, bloom like a flower in June, Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom, so tell a friend it's the sports city chefs again, pay attention, tune in, we on the set again,
Sports City, chef. Yeah. Cabby. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.